Yay, starting the day with dancing. Welcome to the You Can Do It Too podcast, where we talk about how to tackle tasks, finish projects, and fulfill your dreams one step at a time. Regardless of your situation, you can make it happen. It's about the power of momentum and talking to real people who are living their dreams. So we're going to get started now. Today we're talking with Marian Andrews. Marian is a talented, giving, loving woman that I've known for a very long time. We've worked on many projects together professionally, and I've seen Marian grow and develop in particular over the last 6 years. So in addition to our working relationship and our friendship, Marian is actually my mother. And so we have a very close relationship and we work well together as well. I'm excited to share that Marian's first solo book. She's contributed to a number of Amazon bestsellers in other areas, but she is about to launch her first solo book called Gloriously Grateful. It's going to be out very, very soon. So let's talk a little bit about your upcoming book. So it's Gloriously Grateful, but what inspired you to write your book? Where did it come from?
Well, it came from an absolute shock that I got 6 years ago that I had colon cancer. And that was like, whoa, what do you mean? Was something I never even possibly considered, that it's not in my family. It's just not something that I had even thought about. So when it was already advanced to stage 3B. So that was the shock. And sometimes when you get a shock, that kind of makes you stop and think, take account of your life. And also going through it, I ask myself a lot of times, why am I surviving this? Because it's a kind of cancer that a lot of people don't survive. And the answer came to me in meditation, that I was given this journey so that I could actually write a book and help other people who were going through that. And the title was given to me in, again, a spiritual meditation. I heard it so clearly in my ears. I'm sure that my guardian angel spoke it to me and said, the name of the book is Gloriously Grateful. And that may seem a strange title for a cancer surviving book, but it isn't. It is the thing that I really needed to learn, is to be more grateful every single minute of every single day. And the lessons were hard sometimes, but I was always very grateful at the end of it.
So that's quite a journey. And I remember your diagnosis, and it was such a shock. And we did have quite a few battles where you even came close to death a couple of times, and which is, and the thing is too, is that I think the thing that's important to think about is you don't need to have a life-threatening disease in order to start doing things for yourself and to start living your dreams, right? Because your colon cancer diagnosis really changed the direction of your life, right? You started to, I remember having many conversations with you over the years of what is your purpose and where am I going and why am I doing this? And you've done many, many, many different things and taught and had businesses and all these different things. But that life changing diagnosis put you in a very different direction and gave you the drive to be focused on your health and your wellness and your mindset, as well as actually taking advantage of the time that you have and fulfilling your dream, right? Go ahead.
It made me, actually, when I was, I had a 6 hour period every 2 weeks of chemo, and where I was sitting in a chair by myself and I chose to do it that way. But it gave me lots of time of reflection as to, okay, where have I been? What have I been doing? And I realized that I had actually spent a lot of my early youth going to seminars and hearing absolutely phenomenal motivational speakers and reading books like Psycho-Cybernetics by Maltz. And I was on that path. And then somehow, you know, life gets in the way and I'd kind of drifted off to just being, okay, everything's fine. It's going along. I'm not challenging myself, but I'm okay. Until one day, the universe needed to get my attention. And I would suggest that if you can maybe change your path now, before you have to have some really dramatic thing happen, that's a really good idea. So that's also part of the book. Like, consider right now, today, changing one thing, because you can, and you can have an effect on other people. I think so, one of the things that's really struck me right now here in the U.S. is the fires in California. Now, we live on the East Coast. Those are on the West Coast. It's, what, 4,000 miles from us? And we get smoke and ash on our cars on a daily basis. Okay. So the same thing with us. One little ripple here, you don't know where that is going to affect someone. So that's kind of what my book is about. And why I really wanted to write it is because I felt the need to affect people in a positive way.
Absolutely. And that's awesome. And I like, I really like that analogy, because that is like, that ash is coming so far and it's just coming and it's landing. And so we can actually do the same thing. If we just keep moving, we will still get to where we want to go. So, when you're talking about it, everybody has a dream, something they think about, or most people have a dream, something that they think they want to do, or it's niggling at the back of their brain of, I one day I'm going to do this. If only this was right and this was right, and I have to lose 20 pounds, or I have to have $10,000 saved up in the bank account before I can do this, which may be the case for certain things. But so you said just doing one thing. So what would be one thing that somebody could do today to start moving towards their dream?
That's kind of, I think.
What did you do?
Well, I took a lot of steps as, like, I started doing the things that were suggested to me by the cancer clinic, and things I already knew in the back of my mind. I wanted to meditate at one time. I used to do yoga regularly when I was young and loved that practice, and writing a journal and getting things like that out. But I think the most important thing for someone to do to start right now is to stop and sit and allow yourself to know that you can have whatever it is, instead of it comes into your mind and then you dismiss it. Just open your mind enough to just let that little glimmer of joy or hope in, and then keep practicing that.
Right. And we've had that conversation before too about the whole you can do anything, and I'm never gonna be a Broadway singer because I just don't have that voice. And even if I did take singing training, I still wouldn't be where I would pretend I could be. But I can write and I can create and I can teach and I can do other things. And so, and that's where my true aspirations are. And your aspirations were writing and teaching. And so pursuing that and going after that one step at a time. And now, one of the things, it's all well and good. It is important you do have to know where you're going and to have that envision. And that is that's very good advice, to just stop and see it. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to do that. For many years, I always described myself as I lived by the seat of my pants. Like, I just went with whatever decision made sense for me without any real plan. And that worked fairly well. I had a pretty good corporate career in that. But when it comes to actually living the life I've always wanted, which was writing and teaching, that didn't happen because there was no plan. You don't take any steps towards it unless you know for sure that you're going to do it and making that decision to go for it, right? So let's talk a little bit. So you made that vision for yourself of being a writer and that, but it's 6 years later. It's not an instantaneous thing that happens, right? So what are some of the other as much as we wish that it would just be like, okay, done, I'm it, I've thought of it, I'm gonna do it now, and now it's magically here.
Yes, that would be lovely. Yeah. And if you find that magic lamp, I want you to send it to me immediately.
Yes, but well, if I found that magic lamp, I would be a very rich woman. I'm selling that magic lamp.
But the truth is that it is one step at a time. And right. Getting through the chemo was one step at a time. And some days it just took everything I had to make myself go back for another treatment. The first 4 or 5 were, oh, okay, this is like, it's novel and this is really great, it's working. I mean, there was all the side effects. But after a while you go, do I really have to? And you know what? That was such a blessing, because I took that knowledge. I reminded myself that I actually had the discipline to go to the cancer clinic every second Friday, whether I wanted to or not. I committed to that as my way of handling the disease. And so I did it. And some of the days that I didn't really want to be all cheerful and write and look at that, I would say, but I had the discipline to do that. So obviously I have more discipline within me than I realized. And so that was a really interesting observation for me. The other thing is I didn't know I wanted to be a writer. I mean, I always have liked writing things, but I didn't actually know that it was going to be like a published book. That was like kind of a surprise to me.
Okay.
As I wrote in my, I had a journal on Caring Bridge while I was taking the treatments, which lasted over 3.5 years. And people really liked what I wrote and said, oh, you make it sound so interesting and you're so good. Then I thought, oh, I guess I could write then. And then the book kind of developed from that idea. I always wanted to teach, and I always wanted to help people in that way. So the book became that vehicle for being able to help people. And now I love writing. Isn't that
it is awesome.
It's like, I didn't know I was going to. Now I can't wait for the book to come out.
Yeah. It's interesting because I didn't actually realize you didn't want to be a writer. I think I kind of assumed that because you've spent so much time writing in the past 6 years. I know you didn't journal. I've always journaled, but I know you didn't journal before your cancer diagnosis. And for anyone who's listening, Caring Bridge is a website for cancer patients to log their journey, and they can make it public or private to whoever they want. So it's a little bit different kind of platform than just a WordPress blog or something like that. So it's specifically for people dealing with cancer. And it was very good. And on something else that was an advantage for that was then you could share everyone the same information without having to repeat the stories over and over, which is a big plus without having to tell those stories all the time. So you hit on some really interesting points that I'd like to dive into a little bit more. So when you were talking about having to go back for your cancer treatments and having difficulty going back, now that's a thing that happens with anything. Yes. Even when we're doing something we love. For example, I was posting on Instagram every day I did it religiously for like 6 weeks. I posted every day, and then some projects came my way and I didn't have the time and energy to post regularly. And so it's really fallen by the wayside. And so I'm trying to get back into posting regularly with that. And to keep that up, because I believe that's a good platform and that's how I want to share my life and my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So for people who are doing things that challenge themselves, and you talked about challenging yourselves, what are ways that you use to help you get to going back? Like, what did you do to motivate you or to keep you connected with going back?
Well, it was, I guess I'm kind of the kind of person that when I make a real commitment to something, uh-huh. and this was a life and death commitment, okay? Before uh-huh. the chemo started, the doctor said, we discussed how we would treat this cancer, and the statistics for colon cancer are not pleasant. And if I didn't take the chemo, the mortality rate was 80%. So wow. He said, you have about an 80% chance of not making it 1 year if you do nothing. And I didn't much like that number at all.
No, not a fan of that number. So,
I said, so if I take the chemo, what happens? And he said, it actually totally reverses. Then you have an 80% chance of living beyond that 1 year. So, okay, that was like, I don't really have a choice here as far as, I mean, yes, I had a choice, but I committed to, okay, I will do this. The thing that I was surprised about, it was every 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm really good for about 3 or 4 weeks. And then I kind of go off on a tangent over there. And so, you know, all my life, I've prided myself in being spontaneous and, you know, changing course easily. So all of a sudden, it wasn't going to be. It had to be that. So it was a matter of just getting that mindset. Okay, this is what you have to do, and this is what you're going to do. And just went. I don't have a secret, except I just said, this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. So you made the commitment to yourself.
Yes. Well, actually to everybody. Like, I didn't really want to, you know, say to my children, I've decided not to do anything about this and I'll probably be dead next year. You know, like I can't imagine saying that to you. To my sisters or to anyone. Like, I'm not that kind of a person. I fight, you know, uh-huh. I've been through a lot and uh-huh. I fight hard to get to a better place. So, uh-huh. yeah, uh-huh. I think we have a lot more internal fortitude than most of us realize.
We
don't tap into it. We just say, oh, well, I don't, you know, as long as I'm not pushed, I'll just continue plugging along in this nice little rut.
And that's what you also mentioned, is that you were just kind of floating along and you weren't challenging yourself. And now you challenge yourself all the time, and you're cancer free. How long have you been cancer free now?
3.5 years.
Yay! That is so awesome.
Yes. It was so good. 3 years in February. So it's 3.5 years. And, you know, the other thing about that, it'll come back to me. It was another thought.
It's okay.
Flew through.
That happens. So let's take it down a notch as far as serious level, and let's apply that principle to how you were writing your book. Because when was the first time you actually started writing your book? Like, not the Karen Bridge stuff. 2018. So it's 2020. So it's been 2 years since your first thought of writing your book. So there had to have been roadblocks and bumps along the way that it's taken till 2 years later for you to self-publish your book. So what kind of things happened that caused a delay, for lack of a better term?
I think a lot of it is that I let life get in the way. I would write a while, and then I think, well, nobody's going to pay any attention to this anyway. What does it matter? Okay. The other thing that I really developed, again, I had kind of let the spiritual side of me fall away. I was a very spiritual person when I was young. I'm not so great at religious stuff because I'm not very into that, but I was very spiritual and very connected to the God of my understanding. And so that kind of disappeared as I went along my life. So all of a sudden, I realized that I needed to get really serious again about spirituality, because everything I read, everybody talks about it. It's a very common subject now. It used to be nobody talked about it. But now people say, yeah, we need to be in touch with our spiritual side. We need to be aware. And so that really made a difference for me, is realizing that I had angels around me who were willing to help me and nudge me and nag me about things. So until you get to know the angels well enough to nag you, you're missing out.
And these are different angels than what I pictured as a child, of the little chubby angels on wings and with wings and laying around on clouds. These are more interactive relationship
energy
beings. Yeah.
Yes.
So
they're energetic beings. They're not those little, well, maybe there's some like that. I don't know, but I haven't met anybody. I started studying angels right after I got my diagnosis. And so I think there's a plan for us. I think we have a plan back here in our subconscious. And so part of that was I needed something, and then the angels became important to me. And so that helped me as well, because I began to realize that they were really on my side. They were really cheering me on. They wanted this book. They want people to have something. And so everybody has some, it could be the smallest little thing. Maybe you're the greatest baker and you've stopped baking and giving away things. That may be your biggest contribution. You can make somebody's life more cheerful by giving them some hot bread. Like, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but you need to be doing something for others and be grateful that you have that opportunity.
Not everyone is gonna be the big huge star or whatever. Like, everyone has their own purpose, and living that purpose is important to for your own self, right? And so life getting in the way, that's a We've talked a lot about that. That's, mm-hmm. and I was actually on a meeting just yesterday about time management, and that was a big part of it, of life getting in the way. And one of the key suggestions was blocking time in your calendar for when you're going to do both taking care of yourself as well as the things that you need to do for your business or your work or whatever it is. And the person who was leading the call was talking about at the beginning, she would have put like having dinner in her calendar. But now it's more, you know, working out in the morning, having the grateful meditation time, and then going on about the day and just having that structure to making sure that you are getting things done. And it's a completely valid way of doing your time management. And so for you, in getting your book done, what were some ways that you actually went from just thinking about it to actually doing it? What kind of steps did you take?
Well, one of the first things I did, and that's why I know it was 2018, is I took a class, an online class on, so you want to write a book, okay? And, okay, the main theme of all of these things, and this is something that you're very good at, is the discipline of actually doing it. So yes. I took the class and I started writing. I got my first chapter done and I outlined the book and I did all of that. And then I didn't. And then I didn't.
And then you didn't.
And then I hired you as a coach for a while, and you got me back on track and said, do this, and help. You didn't say it that way. You helped me make decisions as to what needed to be done. And you followed up to see if I did them.
Yes.
But again, life got in the way and it kind of tapered off. But then it just finally came this year. It had to be done. And I wanted it done last year, but it isn't. And the disadvantage to, in the meantime, I've taken like three other classes, how to write an ebook, how to do this. I've got all the knowledge in the world. Okay. The place where it falls down is I need help with somebody checking on me to say, are you done? And that's where I think that someone like you who has the steps worked out and will actually step me through them. Okay, now we're going to work on this, okay, and help me through that. Because I, like most people, think writing a book is just writing a book, and it sure isn't.
Yes, it's no. It's a big piece of it, but there's many more pieces to it.
Right. I mean, just editing this silly thing has taken weeks of changes. Yeah. Anyway, it's gone. It is now in the publisher's hands. It went yesterday.
Congratulations.
So now, yes. Oh, I'm so excited. So I wrote to her and said, okay, what do I have to do? And she said, well, here's your next list. Oh, okay. So I have a new list.
And
lists are good.
And you know what? You beat your deadline because you wanted to have it sent off by October 12th. And today we're recording and it's October 8th. So that's awesome. You beat your deadline.
Big win. Big win.
Very big win. And that's also another thing. Like, we're talking a lot about accountability in that, but also celebrating those wins is key to really making you move forward. Because when you can celebrate that you've made this progress, it gives you the confidence to actually move to the next step and take that next action. Everything is about action. You nothing will happen. You can dream about it all you want, but you do have to do something. And even little
really
things.
Kind of, it's really kind of sad, isn't it? That you actually have to do things.
Yeah, you have to actually take those steps. But you know, if you want to be the writer, or you want to be the baker, or you want to be whatever it is, you have to do it. No one else can do it for you.
Right.
Right.
And
you can get help and support, but you have to actually take the steps. You have to make the action.
And I've always been a person that's loved lists. So I can make to-do lists till next week, but if they're not concrete and this is something that I did really learn during the cancer whole journey, is that as much as I might think I don't want to be disciplined, I really like it. And I really like seeing at the end of the day that those things are done. And when my children were little, I was a huge advocate of a schedule for them, keeping them napping at the same time. And I felt that children like to have that structure. And so me, who thought over here that I didn't like structure, realized that I have structured my whole life. And so now it's just really, I didn't have it very structured for a while, for like the last 20 years. But now I realized that, hey, I'm going to get it yet. I got time. I'm not 90 yet. I'll get it.
Even if you were 90, you can still get it.
This is the really exciting thing, is we can always be learning and changing. And we always are, if we're open to, okay, what's the next step that I have to take? And it could be just making a phone call to cheer somebody up. I'm doing a yoga class this week, and one of the things that we're supposed to do every day is to find one small thing that's more social, because we're all missing the social with the pandemic. So she's just suggested that, and I'm the one that everyone is emailing to say what they did. And it's really fun because somebody said, I usually email this person, but I called them. And guess what?
Yeah.
That was a big deal, right? Like we all went, yay, you did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So having accountability partners is also important because it gets you through.
Absolutely. And so that's something that is important too, is you can be accountable to somebody, like to one person, or you can be accountable to multiple people. So if you're deciding that you're going to commit to starting a business, or you're going to commit to talking to your family once a week, then you say that out loud to someone, and it's best if you say it to someone who will actually hold you accountable to it and say, did you make that phone call this week? It's Sunday and you promised that last Monday. So have you actually talked to your family this week, or whatever that may be, right? And being safe with that accountability too, right? Because and another thing too that we haven't really talked about it too much is what to do with the emotions of when you don't do stuff. Because we all miss days, or we miss steps, or we get discouraged. So what do you do to help counter those feelings and that negative thinking that creeps in?
One of the things that I have really learned to use is writing it out, writing it down, getting it out of your head. And at the end of writing all this stuff down of like, I didn't do this and I did it. And okay, I allow myself to be upset for maybe, I'll set a time, like, okay, you can write this for 10 minutes. Okay. And at the end of 10 minutes on my phone, it'll chime and that's it. Okay, you're done. Like, you don't want to live like this. You don't want to live negatively. You've already decided that. So this is not going to help you. So you stop. And then you start thinking, okay, what did I do that was okay? And it might be something small. The other thing I like, of course, is music.
Yes.
Music always gets me out of a bad mood. I mean, I was listening to Art Garfunkel this morning. He's old man, all bent over, and he's still got this beautiful voice. Like, how can you not just want to weep when he's singing Bridge Over Troubled Water, you know? And you think, here's this man that's all humped over and, wow, he looks old.
I don't know how old he is.
I don't either, but anyway, his voice is still as beautiful and sweet as ever. And I thought, isn't that great? He was doing a live concert. And he was talking to the people, and I'm thinking, hey, if you can look all withered up and old and you can still go on the stage and sing, I can do anything.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you talked about, you set that timer for 10 minutes to get that negative thinking out.
Yeah.
That's another tactic technique I teach too, is setting 10 minutes aside for whatever it is. So I needed to get back into writing my book because I also had fallen off the wagon of writing my book regularly and getting it finished. I thought I was finished, but apparently I'm not. And I have a lot on my plate right now, but I still need to do that. So that is still a priority. It's not as much a priority right now, but I set a timer for 10 minutes to make sure that I write or work on my book for at least 10 minutes every day. And I'm making progress. It's, and that's another key thing, right? It's, if you have a full-time job or you're in a business that takes all of your time, everybody has 10 minutes that you can just stop and do whatever you need to do for achieving your goals. So especially if you're going in a totally different direction, having little bits of time to move you in that direction it'll build. And before you know it, just like your book is actually at the publisher's now. So it's just one step at a time. You just plugged away and just kept going back to it and going back to it and going back to it and getting it done, right? And that's a really important thing. You don't have to spend 2 hours of your day doing something to actually accomplish what you want to accomplish. You can do it in small chunks of time.
Yes.
And one of the other things that I adapt into the 10 minute thing, because it can be tricky to remember what you want to do next for whatever your project is. So for example, it's a little bit easier with writing, but so I write when I'm finished my 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, start here, or a little prompt to get me to what I need to do next for the next day, so that it's easier to start. And like with outlining your book, I really heavily outline all the books I read about writing when I was young and wanted to write novels and short stories, and everything said outline, outline, outline. And I was like, yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah, whatever. But it's creative and it's freeing, and you just have the characters go where they want to go. And so I always resisted that. And I'm not writing I'm writing more nonfiction. I'm writing self-help. So outlining isn't as creative. But it makes it so much easier to actually write.
Yes.
When you're actually getting to it.
I wrote my, my outline in 2018. And then when I was wanting to start again in 2019 and in 2020, it was there. You know, I could look at this outline and say, oh, I had wanted to write about the labyrinth and I didn't write it. So then I could add that. And we resist that because we have inside of us that little voice that says, you can't do this anyway. So why bother?
Exactly. You know?
And so we self-sabotage. But We can get past that. We can get past it. And I write that down. You know, I did this, and then burn it. Write and burn. And burn.
So you write down, what do you write down that you're burning? Explain that a little bit
the
more.
The stuff I want to get rid of it. Okay.
Okay. Like the negative.
The negative stuff no one's going to read this anyway. So I'll write that down. And I have a little pot and I burn stuff in it. And my husband says, who's been smoking out here?
Burning negativity.
Yeah. I burn it, let it go back to the wind and let them deal with it.
Yes. And then also writing and keeping positive affirmations and positive thoughts. And going back to the outlining thing. So I wrote my outline. I've written a couple different versions of it. But when I was just looking at my book last week, I realized that I needed some more info in there. And I went to my outline and I got all these new quote unquote new ideas that I didn't realize I missed in there because I had been writing and I didn't necessarily use my outline as much. But that outline is there. And so it's the same thing with your to-do list when you figure out what your project is that you want to do. So you have your focus. I'm going to clean out my storage room. So you make a list of the things that you need to do to clean out your storage room. Like say you need garbage bags, you need boxes, you need to figure out which charities things go to. You need to have some help, have someone come in with you to help you clean it out, whatever it is. And then if you're doing it a little bit at a time, you're like, oh, what do I need? I don't want to do it. It's there. It's so annoying. I don't want to do it. But then you look at your list and you're like, oh, I just need to clean out one box, or I need to get this box to charity. I can do that. Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And so that's another little easy win and gets you closer to your goal. Right? So
yes, and I don't think that you could ever find anyone who has ever accomplished anything, be big or small, like LeBron James. I mean, when I listen to his podcast, he is organized and he is focused. And, you know, as a young man, I'm sure that he didn't just naturally fall into this list of things that he keeps track of. But we have to learn that we do it at a job. We do it for someone else. I mean, I worked in the bank. We had a schedule that we did this at 9 o'clock and this at 10 o'clock. And I loved that list because I could always know exactly where I was. So.
And it feels good when you see things marked off.
Yes. And I fooled myself most of my life thinking that I didn't like that. So it's never too late to learn more about yourself. And I really found out that I need to be disciplined. I need to be scheduled. And in actuality, it works.
It really does. It really does. And making that commitment. And you talked about making the commitment to us as your kids and that. But I really feel like making that commitment to yourself especially not for dealing with cancer necessarily, but for accomplishing a big goal or a big dream, you need to make the commitment to yourself that this is what you need to do. And it's not selfish to do something for yourself. No. We have this tendency to want to make sure that everyone else is taken care of and putting everyone else's priorities as your priority, right?
Yes.
And you can do things for yourself and celebrate yourself and be good. And it feels good. And it makes you a better person and a better wife or a better mother or better human being when you're doing things that make you feel good too.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
You know,
and we have to nourish ourselves
Yes. That one of the things that was hard for me was to let people do things for me, because mm-hmm. I'm always the giver. And yeah. suddenly I couldn't be. I had to have things done for me. I had to. And then I, on reflection, I realized that always being the giver is a very selfish thing to do, because you don't mm-hmm. ever let that other person grow. You don't ever let that other person have the satisfaction of doing something for someone else. So it's mm-hmm. really very selfish to always be, oh, I can do this. I'll do that. You know, and it's not healthy for us either. So it was another revelation that came through.
Yes. I remember an episode of Friends where Phoebe was trying to prove that there was a truly unselfish good deed, and she couldn't prove that because there was always right. a win for her, right?
Yes. And yeah.
So, and there was a win for the other side.
Always.
Right? Yeah. And so, but it was an interesting episode because she was like, no, you can be completely unselfish and do something good. And it's like, no, you still get joy from it. And that's good. but you do really, like, it's like you were talking about connecting with your spirituality and meditating and you have to nurture yourself in Absolutely. Order to be for other people. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to do it anyway.
No.
In the long run.
No. You can't give from an empty basket.
Absolutely not. No. You need to refill your tank.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about discipline in a positive way and having yes. that discipline and taking those actions and making that commitment, you're making a decision, right? That you're going to do this. What would you say is like the number one thing that if somebody is just, they're thinking about doing something, they've been dreaming about doing something, what would you say the number one thing would be for them to do?
Well, I would, this may sound kind of weird, but I would suggest that they sit and put themselves totally in that position, like in a year or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So imagine, mm-hmm. say you have a singing talent and you want to be a singer. So, okay, what does that really mean? Now think about that for just take 15 minutes and put yourself 1 year. Okay. You're standing in front of a crowd. You're singing your own song. They're loving it. Does that feel good to you or is it not? Okay. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we get an idea that, you know, I could want to be a basketball player, but I'm 5'2", you know, and so mm-hmm. probably I'm not going to be a basketball player. So mm-hmm. if I sat down and thought about that and put myself into that position a year down, I'm standing in an arena in a basketball thing and these guys are 7 feet, so they're 2 feet taller than me. And is that yeah. really my dream? So clarifying the want mm-hmm. is what
clarifying
I
the
suggest.
Want. Yeah.
Clarifying yeah. it. Now make sure it is actually something that absolutely ignites you and lights up your spirit, because it will. It will uh-huh. if it's the right thing. Uh-huh. You know. Uh-huh. It won't if it's you think you want to be a public speaker, but when you actually rehearse that a little and think about it, you don't really want to. You want to help people in a different way. But mm-hmm. it wouldn't mean, okay, that you're going to throw, if you're going to be a public speaker and you throw up before you go on stage, that's not a qualification for not doing it.
No, it's not.
But does it really make your heart sing that you're helping people in that way? You can feel it. You pull the energy from the crowd. I love public speaking because I've always pulled that energy from people and responded to them that way. So I know I love it. I do. It scares the heck out of me sometimes, but I love that interaction. Sit down, get to know yourself first. Make sure that you're going to do is making your heart just go, yeah, I love doing this.
Yeah, because even going back to the singing, you could want to sing in your church, or you could want to join a local choir or a singing group or something like that. It doesn't have to be being on stage in front of 100,000 people. It can be whatever you want. It could be delivering food to the homeless or something, whatever it is. So clarifying that is ultimately the key to actually making it happen. And then once you know what it is you want to do and what that looks like, then you can identify what steps you need to take. I think this is, go ahead.
Then you work backwards from that. Okay. So here's what you want. Okay. And then you can start to go, okay, what all has to fall into place for that to happen?
And when you're looking at what all needs to happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything you need to do yourself either, right?
No.
There are things that you may need to get help for or hire someone, or you need to get more education about, depending on what it is that your goal is. But you can, as long as you know where you're going, you'll be able to get there. You can then clearly identify those steps you need to take, and then you'll get there one step at a time.
That's it. Exactly.
That's it.
It might take
thank you so much.
Years, it might take longer.
it doesn't matter. You just keep going.
We will get there.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. We've covered a lot of information, and it's a lot about discipline and making that decision, and scheduling yourself is okay. It's okay to have a schedule. Relax. It is good to have a schedule.
This is a good thing. This is a good thing.
It is worth the effort, and you can do it. So thank you very much for coming on the podcast today. And for all of you listening or watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us on You Can Do It Too podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast to get the latest episodes. And if you have a few minutes, I'd love it if you would rate the podcast and leave a review. I really appreciate it. Now, the big thing, remember, you can do it too. Have an amazing day.